Again, good evening. If you will turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We are going to start a new series. This is more of a Bible study, which Wednesday night really should be. And the title of this is going to be, What Do Baptists Believe About God? You may think that's kind of like, simple, but it isn't. There's nothing about believing about God and truth simple. Everything about God is difficult for us to understand. In fact, without the grace of God, it's impossible for us to understand. The Lord told us to study to show ourselves approved unto Him, rightly dividing the truth, so we'll not be ashamed. Ashamed before God. Ashamed before Jesus. Ashamed that we didn't know enough about God. Ashamed that our studies wasn't deep enough. Because the more you know about God, the more you'll know about the Bible. The Bible is God's Word. Pure and simply His Word. Pure as gold. It's His Word. The problem we have in the world today is a lot of people don't know enough about God. Lord said in Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See, if people knew God, they wouldn't have any delay in understanding that God created the earth. It didn't just appear. It didn't come out of some big bang. It didn't just happen to be here. God created it. There's nothing more detailed about creation, about life, about history than the Word of God. If only people would study, if only people would take the time to learn what God has said. I don't know when God created heaven. I know when He created the heavens. That is the firmament, planets, the stars, all of that. Because it says in here when He did. We're going to get to that just a little bit later. Heaven must have been created. The angels must have been created. All of that must have been going on before He created the earth, in my opinion. I go by facts. So I say that's my opinion. Because right after God created man, Satan enticed female, Eve, to fall. And she did. Satan had already fell as an angel from Lucifer to Satan. And God says He created the earth and the center of it for him. That will be His abiding place forever and ever, once He's put there forever and ever. But we find out here some 6,000 years ago, not millions, not billions, not trillions. People say, well, it's impossible. It can only be 6,000 years old. Nothing's impossible with God. If God created something some way, it's that way. A lot of things happen because of the flood. But God created whatever's been created, and He created it the way it is. Things do happen over time. I'm sure a lot of things happened during the flood. But there's the thought process that the earth is more than 6,000 years old is very unprovable. There's nothing in the Bible. There's no gaps. A lot of people say between verse 1 and verse 2, there's gaps. There's no such thing as gaps. Because God said the evening and the morning were the first day. That's a 24-hour day. Evening and morning the second day. Evening and morning the third day. Evening and morning the fourth day. All the way down to 7. So this is basically a study about God. Most will call it theology. A true understanding of God is unnecessary for every believer because that understanding, listen, underlines the entire Bible. If you're going to understand any other doctrine, and Baptists have always believed that if you're going to understand any other doctrine, the first doctrine you have to understand is who is God. Because he underlines everything else. Every attribute of God plays a role in understanding what God truly means when we read and study his word, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must understand the Trinity and how the Trinity functions. That's a big thing that a lot of people don't understand. It's a Trinity and how the Trinity functions. We're going to get into some of that. Don't know how deep we'll get into this stuff, because this could take 5 years. I mean, it's a big study. We must look at the Hebrew and Greek language to understand what is the true meaning of words in the Bible. Because a lot of words have a lot of different meanings. Just because he says, in the beginning, God created, it doesn't mean every word that God in the Bible is the same. They're not. This is called a theological study of God. For example, the very first time the name of God is written, it speaks of the Trinity. In the beginning, God created. The word God in the Hebrew is Elohim. That's the Hebrew word for God here. The word God has other Hebrew words, but here is Elohim. That's important. If you didn't know that, it wouldn't be as important. This Hebrew word is used in a what? Plural form. Listen to what Jamerson Fawcett Brown says about the word of God, the word God. It is expressive of omnipotent power. And by its use here in the plural form, it's obscurely taught at the opening of the Bible. That is the plural form of God, which is the Trinity. When the Lord says, when God's name here in verse 1, it's talking about the Trinity. The word God doesn't always talk about the Trinity, but here it does. He goes on to say, or they go on to say, a doctrine clearly revealed in other parts of it, namely, that so God is one, there are plurally of persons in the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who were engaged in the creative work. So what the word Elohim means here, and verse 1 is in a plural form, which means it's talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The reason that's important is because in the beginning was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they are one God. Single form of one God. But they are three equal distinctions. They're not three different spirits. They're not three different entities are not three different beings. They are one being, and that being is God. Whether you talk about the Father, whether you talk about the Son, or whether you talk about the Holy Spirit, they are one. They are all the same. They are not different in any shape, form, or fashion. None of them ever does anything the other one doesn't do. All of them are totally equal as one form of the Trinity of God. And there we see them in the very first scripture of the Bible in a plural form in Elohim. Therefore, in the very first verse, if you want to turn to John chapter 1, go ahead. In the very first verse of the Bible, we, as Baptists, believe in two major doctrines, just in this one verse. First, God is a Trinity, three equal distinctions, but one God. Second, God is the singular creator and power of everything in existence. God created the earth. God created his kingdom. God created the angels. God created every creature in heaven. God created the heaven, and he created the Holy of Holies for himself and his Son, Jesus Christ. And all of that we find in verse 1. This teaching explains why God said of Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And in verse 14, I'm not going to read it, but it says, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God didn't become flesh. Jesus Christ was flesh, incarnate with deity and human nature. God, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but he was born in the likeness of simple flesh. God does not have a body. It's hard. One of the hardest things for people to understand is God doesn't have a body. God can embody himself if he chooses in a form, not in totality, because God cannot be put in one place at one time. Because God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. God is everywhere at one time. There's never a place when God is not. Because God is a spirit. He is not a person. He is not in any form a body. But the Son, the second part of the Trinity, was incarnate with Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, the seed of the woman, in that body with the Son of Man. I don't intend to explain it all. I can't. Nobody can explain it all. But we can't understand it all. We just understand enough to understand, don't we? That's what God gave us the ability and mindset to do. Our minds are so limited. We can only comprehend. We cannot comprehend God. Impossible. He's too big. There's too much about him. There's too much to understand. So we understand what we understand, and that is what God reveals to us. John went on to say in verse 10 of John 1, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, speaking of Jesus, speaking of the Son of God and the Son of Man. And the world knew him not, proving that Jesus is part of the Trinity as far as the Son of God goes. And he was included in the creation of the world, creation of all things. I'm not saying Jesus is a God, don't misunderstand me. But we have to understand that Jesus Christ is both deity and human. Deity and human. The arguments have been, many arguments, I've listened to them on Facebook among a lot of good preachers. Brother Pugh wanted to be one of them. Did Jesus Christ actually exist, Jesus Christ himself, before he was born? We know that the Son of God did, didn't we? Because he's the eternal part of God, isn't he? Second part. See, we have those conversations because there's so much we don't know. Just to throw one at you that might blow your mind is, should preachers actually marry people? Should we actually perform marriage ceremonies? People say, well, sure, you're a preacher. But where in the Bible does it tell us to perform marriage service? Another one they have on Facebook. So he's the Son of God. That is Jesus Christ. Also, he's the seed of the woman. Don't ever lose those two facts. Also shows us that God has sovereign power, not only over the world, but over the entire universe. Because before God created, nothing existed but Elohim. Nothing existed but God. People say, well, only God existed before this scripture. I don't know about that, because I think the heaven already had to be created. I think angels are, but that's just thinking, you know? That's not set in concrete truth. It has to be, because there's only 7 days, and a short time after that, Satan already fell. Anyway, I ain't getting into all that. I'm just getting into what I can tell you. Our second part here, go to Colossians 1, if you will. This verse also describes to us the sovereignty of God. Without the sovereignty of God, you will never, and the greater the understanding of the sovereignty of God you believe, the greater your understanding of the Bible will be. Because God is 100% absolute sovereign. Sovereign in all things, sovereign over all things. Nothing is done, absolutely nothing is done without God either doing it or permitting it to be done. Nothing. Nothing happens to a child of God, absolutely nothing that God has not preordained for each and every one of us. Most people can't understand those things. And when they do, they miss a blessing. They miss understanding how much control and how much love and how much of workings that God has in each of our lives. So we go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. And says, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. So when we see Jesus, we see God. Because Jesus is incarnate with the Son of God. So when we see Jesus, we see the invisible God. Invisible means we've never seen God. Listen, nobody's ever seen God. Nobody. Except those that have been into the third heavens. The firstborn of every creature is Jesus. Verse 16, for by him were all things created. That is the Son of God, right? That are in the heavens, that are in the earth, that are visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So we see here that God, the Son of God himself, was before all things. At one time, before anything was ever created, angels, heavens, creatures in heaven, anything that was ever created, the Son of God existed. He had a part right here in it. Could Jesus Christ have been there? Maybe. But we do know the Son of God, because Elohim here is plural, and that includes the Son of God, doesn't it? The word consist, when it says by him all things consist, means to stand with or fall together. The universe is upheld by the Lord our God. The universe is held together by God. He created it. He created it for his own glory. Elohim created it for his own glory. And he put everything in place as he chose to put it there. He also named everything. Everything in the entire universe. I was watching on YouTube yesterday or day before with Rebecca. She don't watch much on TV. She don't watch much TV. She plays on her phone. I was watching the the robot they put on Mars. Of course, they're trying to say because water was there, life was there. I can't tell you if life was ever there. I can't tell you if there's another world just like this one somewhere. I can't tell you because I don't know. All I know is what's in this book right here. And until someone finds another world, I don't think there's another one like this one. But I can't answer questions. I just don't know. I can speculate sometimes, which I have already done, but we just don't know what we don't know. That's the reason we need to work hard to understand everything we can know. Mr. Poole, who wrote a commentary, added these words, "Likewise, the support and upholder of all things whatsoever are created, God is the sole creator, the sole power, and sole controller, our sovereign power of everything," the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, "who being in the brightness of his glory," speaking of Jesus, "and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of majesty on high." So we see that Jesus Christ upholds and controls everything, or at least the Son of God does. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, isn't he? And he's upholding them while he's also purging our sins. And he sits on the right hand of the majesty on high. So Jesus Christ is in the brightness of God's glory. We see the image of God in Jesus. We can't see God. Nobody has ever seen God. Now why? God is not an image to be seen. God is a spirit. We're going to get into that in just a minute. God is a spirit. He has no hands. He has no body. He has no feet. He has no head, no brain. He has no back. He has no front. He is a spirit. Purely a spirit. Now the Son of God was in the Son of Man, incarnate. But Son of God is the same as God the Father. He has no body. Remember when you talk about God, Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, you're talking about one single being. Best I can describe him, being. He sometimes speaks of body parts like his hands. Jesus had hands, but God did not. So that we can understand things. Mind. God doesn't have a mind. He's a spirit. He doesn't think. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything. There's nothing he doesn't know. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't move around. He's in the past, present, and future already. Time is nothing to God. Time only exists on this earth. So therefore, God doesn't move. He never has to move because he is omnipresent. If you believe he's omnipresent, you cannot believe he moves. He says things so that we can comprehend why the Holy Spirit moved over the earth. God is already all over the earth, everywhere. So let our understanding be our understanding about God, and understand that that understanding underlines all other Bible doctrines, beliefs for Baptists. For example, if one refuses to believe and understand that God's sovereignty, then they will miss so many truths of God's power, God's working, and that will cause so many misunderstandings. For example, salvation. Does God have total power over salvation? Well, the Bible says he does. He's sovereign in salvation, isn't he? He elected us for the foundation of the world. He gave us to Jesus for the foundation of the world. He ordained all of salvation before the foundation of the world. Our salvation was assured before the foundation of the world. Time is just a process in which the will of God is brought to reality. But all of it, salvation, is will of God. So if you don't understand that, if you can't comprehend those things, then you might think that salvation is a choice, a decision, a work, something we do. When in reality, salvation doesn't require anything from us. Not even believing. Because believing is a gift of God, isn't it? Faith was given to us, wasn't it? Our saving faith was given to us. God says that no one will come to him. But people believe that they can come to Christ. No, Jesus said, no one can come unto me except the Father draw them. Yet, some people don't understand that, and they don't see those things, so therefore they cannot understand that God draws us to him. He convicts us. He causes us to believe. Our salvation is a gift. From start to finish, it's a gift. We're already glorified. Our souls and spirits are already glorified. Our bodies will be soon. But to God, it's already accomplished. Because God don't live for Jesus to come. God's beyond that already. There's not a day with God. Never a day turns with God. There's no such thing as time with God. So let's go to John chapter 4 for our first point. And you might ask why I go through these things. It's because a lot of people don't understand. Hopefully, someone that don't understand will understand. Hopefully, I can explain this enough. Maybe someone can look at it and read the scriptures, study the scriptures, and see how sovereign God is. Because that's where every Bible doctrine starts, with the sovereignty of God. If you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, you'll never understand the truth of the Bible. You understand a few. You understand a little bit, but you'll never understand the deep things of the Word of God. So it says, God is not a man. That's our first point. God is not a man. Please understand, God is not a man. Jesus was a man. Incarnate was the Son of God. He's also the seed woman. God is not a man. In John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. And then he goes on with these words. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're going to worship God, you must worship him two ways. One, as a spirit, and in a spiritual way. And two, in truth. Because God does not accept anything, any kind of worship, except absolute truth. Now, what is truth? Truth is the Bible. What we believe about the Bible may not always be truth. If we all believe the Bible as it's written, we would all agree on the Bible, wouldn't we? We would not differ anywhere, would we? The Bible leaves no error. It leaves no room for error. It leaves no room for disagreement. It's absolute truth. And anything we believe that is not in this book isn't truth. May be truth to me, may be truth to you, but it's not truth. The only truth comes from the Word of God. So we must worship God in spirit, and we must worship him in spirit. Now go to John chapter 3, if you will. Hopefully I'll finish my first point here. Probably not. It's pretty long. Yeah, I got to get somewhere.
Okay.
So the word spirit means breath. Means breath. It's a bear. It's like a breeze. Something you can't see. You can feel it. Well, you can feel God too. When the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, quickens it, you feel the Holy Spirit. You might not understand what's going on, but it's definitely the Holy Spirit working in you. First, to quicken your spirit. Second, to cause you to believe. In John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence cometh, or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Holy Spirit. We feel it. Like if you walk outside, that wind feels good, doesn't it? You might not be able to tell if it comes from north or south or east or west, but you feel it. And it feels good, don't it? On a hot day especially. Even a cool day it feels good, don't it? But same thing with the Holy Spirit. God is like a breath, whether it's the Son, the Father, or the Holy Spirit. God is a spirit, period. So you might not be able to see him, but you can feel him. You might not know from where he comes, but you know he's there. Because you feel him, right? You know the breeze is here, the breath has come to you, the wind has hit you, because you can feel it. So when we are saved, it's by the Holy Spirit of God, the third part of the Trinity, but of God. So when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus earlier in the scripture, he told him he had to be born again. Born again means born from above. To be born not only of his mama, but also born of God. There's two births. We all have two births saved. We have a birth of our human nature and the birth of our salvation from God. And that birth comes from God. Means it comes from above. Comes from God. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something we get. It's not something we earn. It's not something we make a choice for. It's not something we make a decision for. None of those things are in the Bible. All of that is error's teaching. It's false teaching by people that don't know who God is. The more you understand about God, the more you understand about the Bible. So we feel God's presence and God's power working within our spirit. You feel it sometimes when you're just thinking. All of a sudden, something comes to you. I feel it a lot because when I get ready to start preaching, I start looking at my Bible on the computer, and I start reading, I start thinking. I might read a sermon note, I might read an article, I might read something on the internet, and all of a sudden it just pops into my head, and I can feel it in my heart, start working like this message. This is what you're going to teach. So that's what I teach. You feel it on many other things. You might not understand it, know from where it's come from, or know how it's working, but you feel it there. You can feel it, can't you? That's because we feel God working with us. So while we cannot see him, but we sense his presence, once he quickens our dead spirits, we feel God's presence, and we feel God's power working within our spirits. That's what we feel. That's the breath that we feel. That's the Holy Spirit working in us. Holy Spirit's not the only spirit. God is a spirit. Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's plural. It's a Trinity. It's the Holy Spirit and our Father and the Son. It's difficult for us to conceive an absolute spiritual being, because we're body, aren't we? This is the reason so many people make God think that he's just a man. and they picture him as a man. And then they see these idiots like Catholics and others that have statues of God, like he was a man. Statues of the Holy Spirit, statues of Christ. And they have no right to have them. They're false. Every one of them's false. But we have a hard time dealing with it until we start learning about God. And the more we study and learn about God, the more we can understand, because we have bodies, and that's what we go by. We live in time. So everything to us is about time, isn't it? In other words, it's 5 minutes till seven, so in 5 minutes I have to quit this message, right? There's no time with God. It doesn't exist. God is an eternal being, which means he never lived in time. There's never been a day or a night or a tomorrow or a yesterday with God. That's the reason Jesus said he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Because absolutely no time with God. And God is a spirit, therefore he doesn't have a body. There's no particular place for God. We don't understand so much like how he sits up on the throne when he's a spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Things are sometimes put to us in the scriptures to make us understand what God's talking about. When God says we're in his hand, then we understand what that means, don't we? He don't have a hand, but that's like where he has us. Spiritual hand. We're in his spiritual hand. Not really hand, though. God does not have a body of any sort. Nothing. He doesn't have eyes, he doesn't have ears, doesn't have a brain. He don't have any part of a body. If God desired to embody himself in some sort, he could, like the Son of God embodied in Jesus Christ. So God, one nature, the Son of Man, another nature. That must have been a blessing, don't you know? It must have been a true blessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not understand it all, but we understand that much, don't we? So he could embody himself like the Son of God did with Jesus. Angels have at times embodied bodies, haven't they? They've been in bodies, haven't they? They're spirits too. But somehow they were in a body at one time. And made today, I don't know. The Lord says you couldn't entertain angels. But to think of God in a body form is not correct in any way. You can never think of God in a human form. I'm going to stop there even though I didn't get done with this because we're out of time. And we'll pick up with this next week and the next week and the next week until we can see how far the Lord wants us to go with it. This is just a start, just opening up. And there's so much we need to remember. You say, well, we know these things. You know these things, but sometimes we need to be reminded of things, do we not? Sometimes we need to, and if you disagree with something, that's fine. You know what? We all disagree, do we not? I don't know if I'm a human being alive that I'd be with 100%. I certainly don't my kids. I certainly don't my wife. I certainly didn't my mother or my father. I didn't even with Brother Hammond. He and I disagreed on a few things. And other preachers I disagree with. Some of the preachers we have here I disagree with a certain point here or there. I mean, we're not all the same. I look forward one day we will be all the same. We will not. We will all be the same. We'll all believe the same thing. And all of it will be this right here. Those that are not fortunate enough to understand God and understand salvation right and understand Jesus, God saved their souls, and they're going to be in heaven just like we are. And when they're there, they're going to believe the truth. They're going to understand it all, as much as God allows us to understand. And I believe he'll allow us to understand a lot. Not everything. We can't ever understand everything God is, but we'll certainly understand a lot more than we do now. And we will believe the absolute truth. Thank the Lord. So anyway, bear with me. Go with me. Think with me. You don't have to think a lot with me. Just think with me. Study to show yourself approved unto God, not unto me, not unto yourself, unto God. And let's remember who it is that we serve and who it is to bring glory to and all honor to, no matter what. Nothing should ever stop us from that. Let's all stand. And I'm going to ask Brother Larry, if he will, dismiss the church work for